"What do you think it's for?" he asked. Numion glanced down at it. Fashioned into a simple blacksmith's hammer, it looked unremarkable.
"I think it's a symbol," he said. "When I see it, I believe in our Primarch, that he is still alive. Beyond that, I don't know."
"I hope you're right, brother." Pergellan, returning from scouting out the tunnel ahead, interrupted them. "The way further on is clear," he put in. "This tract ends in an outflow. It's towards the edge of the city, and should give us a good vantage point to plan our next move."
Numion nodded.
"Make sure there are no surprises."
Taking Kagosi with him, the scout headed back off into the darkness.
"I hate to echo the human," said Leodrak when Pergellan had gone, "but what is our next move?"
Numion regarded Grammaticus.
"They're after him now. The attack on the manufactory is proof of that. We might be able to use that, to use him."
And just like that, fate twisted again, and Grammaticus bemoaned that he had ever been saved by the salamanders. The outflow ended in a broad sink a few meters deep. It was raining heavily overhead, causing the dirty sewer runoff in the man-made basin to flow over its rockcrete lip in a rushing cataract that crashed down in an ever-deepening pool below. At one side of the sink there was a wooden jetty. The bodies of three men laid face down on it. Their attire suggested they were sump catchers. They had been stabbed to death, and the crude sigil daubed in blood on the jetty suggested it was cult-related. Above them hung a lattice of fishing lines, dead sump rats strung along them by their tiny feet. There were a couple of long pikes, too, and a crumpled-up net stuffed into an empty oil drum. A tarpaulin provided ineffective protection against the elements, covering two-thirds of the jetty and suspended on guide poles like a crude tent.
"Don't want to slip in there, human,"
muttered Leodrak as he escorted Grammaticus over a wooden walkway that creaked with the legionary's every step. Grammaticus looked down into the viscous, grimy soup, slowly coagulating in the sink. Foulness practically radiated from it. The water an ugly pale yellow. Carcasses bobbed up and down in it, disturbed by the effluvia running out from the pipe and cascading over the basin edge. It reminded him of the drainage basin on the outskirts of Anatol Hive when he had been just a child. As he looked down into the sink's murky depths, he tried not to picture the corpse-white face of a boy and found he had to look away. Instead, he thought about the Eldar who had flecked at him in the infirmary. He had offered him a way out, a choice, a truth, albeit one that had yet to be revealed to him in full. It went against his mission. It might also be a pack of lies, a test by the Cabal to see if he could be trusted. Tired wasn't the word for how he felt now. He was ragged, just like the warriors who were escorting him. Not only that, he was a traitor to his race, his entire fucking race. That was something not many could claim, not that he was proud of it. He felt grubby, and not just from the sewer pipe. He wanted to believe what he had seen in the infirmary. He needed to. But what if it wasn't real? What if Slaudar, Gahet, and all those other bastards were manipulating him still? All he had was his mission, and even that sickened him. Thoroughly miserable, Grammaticus winced as a droplet from above splashed his eye. Numion lifted up his dripping gauntlet for retinal analysis.
"High acid content," he said. "Better give him something to keep off the worst of it."
"How about we go somewhere other than a fugging sewer?" suggested Grammaticus. "Perhaps indoors and not surrounded by shit and piss."
"Here."
Kugosi handed him his cloak. It was drake hide, virtually impervious to fire and more than adequate protection against acid rain. Grammaticus took it grudgingly.
"Why not give me one of theirs?" he asked,
gesturing to the dead salamanders being carried out onto the jetty.
"Not mine to give," said Kugosi.
They're not going to need them.
Doesn't matter, the pyroclast replied, and went to help secure the outer perimeter. Pergellan was standing at the edge of the basin, a couple of meters away from the gushing cataract.
It's sheer, over 80 meters straight down, he told Numion, who had just joined him, though the water makes it look shorter than that.
The dirty torrent from the sewer pipe was coming down so hard that it frothed and foamed below, rising and bubbling in a small but violent tumult. The spray kicked up all the way to the top of the outflow, but Pergellan's gaze had moved skywards to a high column which comprised part of an aqueduct that flanked the torrent.
Looks like a good vantage point, he said.
A walkway led from the jetty along the side of the outflow pipes all the way to the aqueduct and had enough room for men to traverse in file. Beyond the aqueduct, the rest of Ranos was laid open. Numion could see that since making planetfall, they had moved east towards the edge of the city. His eyes narrowed.
Is that,
he asked,
a spaceport? Yes, it is, said Pergellan.
Numion looked back over his shoulder to where Grammaticus was huddled up and shivering in Kagorsi's cloak.
This is no place to make a stand, brother.
Agreed, said Pergellan.
What do you have in mind?
Numion watched the lines of dead sump rats swaying with the fetid breeze.
Bait, he said.